And welcome back to the second hour of Radio Alchemy on KPFK, 90.7 FM Los Angeles, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara County. And as you know, I wanted to remind you that the LaRouche Institution will be in town at the Burbank Hilton, right across from the Burbank Airport, on Saturday, August 30th, and the festivities start at around 11 a.m. So it is a good place. If you're looking for research material, if you're looking for fine library grabs, they bring out tons of material, tons of amazing stuff for you to stock your library with some of the best investigative research. You might not agree with them on everything, but that's really not the point, because we all are searching and all have pieces of the puzzle, and you can find a bunch of them at the meeting of the Executive Intelligence Review and the LaRouche Organization over at the Burbank Airport at the Burbank Hilton across from the Burbank Airport, coming up on Saturday, August 30th, Labor Day weekend. All right, darlings, in this hour, guess what? We have one of our satellite angels back in town, have found this man, and he is here. He is the man of the stars. He is the man of the Nostradamus divine architecture of astrology. His name is Dr. Lewis Turry, and what a time to bring him back on. Then with the bypass of the Mars planet, the warrior planet, the little warrior making its close flyby by Earth, and he is here to give us the astro forecast as to what this means. There's a lot of stuff happening in the stars, and it's great to have this angel fly in and give us a read. Dr. Turry, long time no see. So glad to have you back on Radio Alchemy. And what of this amazing astronomical event of Mars coming so close to Earth? What is your interpretation of this?
Well, first of all, Mars took 50,000 years to get closer to Mother Earth, so the impact has been so far very drastic. In my predictions on my website, I clearly mentioned that the Lord of War, the Lord of Fire, would certainly disturb nature and produce all sorts of heat wave. And sad enough, the latest from France is that, you're not going to believe this, over 15,000 French people have died.
What?
Of a heat wave. Yes, that's correct. Well, they said 3,000, then it came up to 5, and then to 10, and now the numbers are rocketing up the roof, that of, to the point where the French government is going completely out of order. Over 15,000 old people died in France because of the heat wave, and this is again produced by Mars. Now, Mars also always induces all sorts of nasty happening in terms of war, and especially with explosion. Then you could see in Florida there is a plastic plant that exploded. A bomb exploded again not long ago at the Iraqi Shiite cleric at home, killing 3 people. 46 people died in India because of a blast, of course. In Brazil, 21 people died in a rocket explosion. In Baghdad, 13 people died in the explosion, the attack. And in Jerusalem, 20 people died because of explosion. I mean, you could see Mars is called the Lord of War in Greek mythology for good reasons. And being so close to the Earth is going to bring a fighting spirit between every one of us. Nature is going to go out of order. There is no mystery about it. It's already taking place. And volcanoes are going to be active. And as a matter of fact, there is one that is about to explode any days now, as a matter of fact. And earthquakes are going to take place where people wouldn't even think they should. And in New Zealand, the 7.5 that took place also is because of Mars getting so close to the Earth.
Well, this seems to, of course, coincide with the kind of warrior bloodletting mentality that we have up on Capitol Hill. Now, after this event, Mars goes into retrograde. Does that compound the problem, or do we get a release from
It's going to bring the affairs of the past a little bit more bloody, so to speak. Things that have been in the cooker, like North Korea, for example, is going to start to heat up again. And especially, we are now in a supernova window. I mean, you know, for those who are interested, just go to my website and read all those predictions there. They are all there for you to enjoy, so to speak. But most of all, is to be prepared. Mars in your chart indicates where danger can enter your life. So if you're not aware of the Mars location in your astrological chart, you're going to start to be aggressive. If you have Mars in the seventh house of marriage, you're going to start to fight with your partner, your wife or your boyfriend or your girlfriend. If you have it at work, you might catch your hand or you might break your leg on the stairs going down some places. If you have it on your finances area, you're going to start to fight with your friends because of money. You know, you have 12 specific areas of the human experience which is receiving the tremendous red-hot impact of Mars, and it will display its destructive power. Again, the symbol to represent Mars, the ancient Sumerian carved the sign of Aries, which is a representation of the ram and the horns, to represent men's stupidity, they use the ram symbol, two rams running away from each other and then going at each other head first until somebody died or a broken head or something,
yes,
or serious injury. So Mars is very, very powerful in anybody's chart, and you better find out where it is so that you don't pay the price of ignorance.
So when does this window, before Mars goes into retrograde, this proximity, when does this window end?
Again, all the dates are on my website if you click on prediction, daily or monthly predictions.
Yes.
But the supernova window has already started about 2.5 weeks ago, and it is produced by another planet called Mercury. So it was easy for me a year and a half ago when I wrote my prediction to prepare people for the blackout that took place in New York. Mercury was also communication and transportation, so it blew up a pipe in Arizona and nobody could find gas around here. Anything to do with transportation, communication, is going through that window, which is going to be going for another 2 weeks also. So, you know, the temperature is red hot. The temperature from the stars the last couple of weeks have been very destructive and very negative. The beauty about astropsychology or Nostradamus astrology is that you get to know what's going on and you don't lose patience and you're being more careful in specific area where Mars or Mercury will affect you on a negative impact.
Now, is there, lastly, before I let you go, sir, is there anything within the proximity of Mars and being within this window of opportunity that you have the power to flip it and turn it to your advantage?
Absolutely. Your will is much stronger than the stars, but 99.9% of the people listening to your radio show right now are totally unaware. They don't have any cosmic consciousness. They are robots of the stars, and they do not know how to turn a bad situation into a good situation. And that's the price everybody has to pay in the name of ignorance. But again, yes, there is a way to turn Mercury or Mars for your benefit, but you have to know exactly where it is in the area of your life where those two planets are going to play havoc and then turn them around. You can apply your will. That's for sure.
Well, that's what we're talking about on this show, is applying your will. And I hope you will go to your keyboard and visit Dr. Turi's site. Dr. Turi, please give out your digits and your website address.
Well, my telephone number is 602-265-7667. Again, 602-265-7667. But please go to my website, read your daily and monthly forecast. It's free. It's very important. Sign up for my newsletter. It's also free, where you're going to learn everything you need to know about true astropsychology. And my website address is my name, www.drturi.com, drturi.com, drturi.com.
Fantastic. Well, you know what? It's so great to have an angel, our satellite angel out there in Arizona. He is checking in with us. Dr. Turi, thank you so much for telling us and talking to us about this amazing window of opportunity for people to test their wheel being greater than that of star power.
That's correct.
Or else knowing that it's time to lay low. Hope to have you back on soon, and I know you're coming to L.A. Can't wait to speak with you when you come to L.A.
We'll do that, darling. Bye-bye. Thank you for inviting me again. Good night, America.
All right. Dr. Turi joining us from Phoenix, Arizona, telling us, or is it Tucson? I don't know. He's out there in that great state of Arizona and making it greater with his presence. All right, darling, just a little bit of a talk about Mars coming by. Yeah, it definitely has a big effect, but you have a bigger affect. That's what we're learning here. All right, stay tuned. Coming up, Bob Dobbs, continuing our Media Ecology School. We're going to be talking about that blackout. Be back. Can you imagine that, folks? I had no idea that there were 15,000 elderly French citizens that died because of this heat wave. So many explosions, plus the burning of missiles with nerve gas, sarin gas, down in Alabama, people getting plastic bags to put over their heads. Just amazing stuff going on, amazing stuff. And of course, the news of the century is the close to, I think it was almost $100 billion now, guesstimated that they are thinking about rebuilding the grid system of the United States. As you know, there's a western, central, and eastern board grid system, and Texas is the only ones that have their own electrical grid. Wonder how that could be. Well, Bob is here, darlings. He was on the east side of the country, as you know, our angel out on the east side. He was there, a present, and had his ears to the ground and high up in the satellite realm to try and find out, gosh, did somebody just slip and trip over a power cord? Was there too much air conditioning pull on the grid system on the East Coast, or was it something else? As always, Bob, it's always great to have you here on Radio Alchemy. And what's the weather like? Has the power's back on? Everybody's nice, cool, and calm out there, Bob?
Yeah, good morning, Brenda, Eben.
Yeah.
Cecilia, Filito, and Venus.
Yes.
Listen to this. I see and hear you've been following the news again, the puny stories. Remember, 2 million people are killed in the hospitals iatrogenically every year. Mm-hmm. These statistics you cite, 10,000 puny stuff. Apocalypse is in the pharmacy, in the world of medicine. Nobody reports on that. So I give credit to Matthias Rath, I think his name is, puts big ads in the New York Times. He's like the Gary Null of Europe, who's come over here to point out that all these wars are for the pharmaceutical companies. And he's right to cite the real apocalypse. No, Armageddon. Apocalypse is Revelation. What I'm saying is apocalyptic, and it's describing the Armageddon of dashing the body among the chemicals of the 19th century.
Well, you know what? They have been dashing us for how long? Radiation experiments, chemtrail experiments. I mean, there's some resilience to the human body that they're going to be, I think, a little bit more aggressive and blatant. I mean, maybe they need for us to die slowly so that we at least work while we die.
No. They've been assailing us since speech, 10,000 B.C. Speech. Imagine somebody who's good at speech hijacking the group mind.
Well,
and everybody has to pay attention to those words.
Yeah.
There's the original hijacking. That's why McLuhan, in his chapter on spoken words, said, flower of evil, referring to Baudelaire.
Baudrillard?
No, Baudelaire, poet of the 19th century.
Very good.
So here's what happened. August 14th, August 8th month, 14, 8, 14 is 22. So we know it's going to be Zenocchi for Bob. So I'm sitting here. Connie has disappeared. I don't know what she was doing other than I heard a little later, before 4 o'clock our time, before 4:11, that she had gone off to Canada.
Oh.
And so then I'm sitting there and I call my buddy, the guy working on the Matrix 2 article about me, Mr. Guffey. He's down there in Los Angeles. I call him about some matter and he says, how's it going out there? I said, what do you mean? He seemed to be intense in his voice. I said, well, don't you know the energy's gone out? The blackout. I says, no, nothing's happened to me. What are you talking about? And so he said, well, they just reported that this thing is sweeping down the eastern seaboard and may get as far as Florida.
Washington was still safe. It didn't affect Washington. So I said, well, I know nothing about this. What's going on? And he further elaborated, and I says, wait a minute. And I look out, and it's still daylight, so I can't tell what's going on out there, but I've got my energy going. So then it hit me. Connie, and it's Pritzi's Honor. You've seen the movie where Jack Nicholson and
Kathleen Turner.
Kathleen Turner, you know, other mafia people like me and Bob, me and Connie, and they're going to, it's, you know, 10 little Indians. One of them's got to go, right? So this is all in light of the fact that just July 30th, I just posted in various websites, chat lines, the prediction of him, who we think is McLuhan, through the medium Glow, had predicted big things happening in August, including a huge wipeout of something, a huge in the United States. So I'm thinking, did M predict this? But I'm taking it personally because I'm not being affected. That means Connie has maybe, this is what I have to think this way, Connie has moved out, and if I'm the one house alight in the whole black eastern seaboard, and I've seen that satellite picture after, you've seen that, the whole blacked out area?
Yeah.
There I am, the one lit place. They, my enemies, would have a chance to find where I live.
Mm-hmm.
So I hightailed it out of there and finished talking to Guffey, and it moved on out for a couple hours, and I came back, and the neighbors are all abuzz, sweating, enjoying the media fast, but I'm wondering what's up, so I go back in the house and wait to see if Connie's going to call and laugh at me. Sure enough, the call comes in. She pleads her case that she did not mean this. This was not the murder of me, not the assassination, not the setup of me. And I said, okay, great, hung up. And right after, the neighbors cheered, and the energy went on in their buildings.
So hold it, you're
so
talking
then
about
I turn
it.
On the TV, and I see that the part of Manhattan I'm in was the first one to get their energy back 4.5 hours later.
Uh-huh.
But I didn't get affected at all.
So your all of the power in your house was on?
Yeah, I had my own grid, my own power generators, but they could have been affected, but they weren't.
Interesting.
Yeah.
How do you account for that? What do you got?
Well, because I think because I predicted it with the help of the medium Glow, it was this anachronous. I'm always at the center of these events. I mean, I don't plan it. I never, you know, anticipate it. But in retrospect, it's always true. And so what's the meaning? The meaning is it was, as the reports come in the next day about how the citizens loved it, they love going around Manhattan and having fun partying and getting that psychic pressure of the electric vortex off them. A media fast had happened.
Mm-hmm.
The main principle of McLuhan himself, no wonder he predicted this.
Mm-hmm.
This is a release that I advocated back in the old days in Toronto, and it was on the albums, Bob's Media Ecology, quoted for me, though I didn't put the albums out, right? But they're
right there.
So now...
Well, hold it, Bob. Before you leave that, go back and explain to our audience, because I get an opportunity to talk to you more. You're talking about mediums. You're talking about Glow. Break it down where exactly you're getting the information and how it is that you're talking about Marshall McLuhan, who has since passed.
Yeah, if you go to the McLuhanInstitute.org and go into the volunteer ESP section, which is where the public can make... you know, post questions, queries, or statements. A year ago in June, somebody posted a statement saying, I don't know anything about this site. I don't know who McLuhan is, but someone came to me named McLuhan, and I can see dead people, been able to do it since I was 5, but I don't tell anybody, only my family knows. And he came and he said, I need to talk to someone who's already talked to me through another medium. So this Glow Googled and found McLuhan Institute and posted this query, and my associates realized that it must be referring to me because I have talked to McLuhan through a medium, or what it pretends there may be McLuhan, who knows, doesn't matter. Whatever it is, talks McLuhan's language and has his knowledge. And so I got in touch with the medium, and we set up on July 1st, a year ago, the first, maybe the first mediumship through instant messaging, where... this person would sit there, thousands of miles away from me, and McLuhan would appear, and then he would say things, and we'd respond, and I'd interpret, and then more stuff would happen. And then after the 7th session in August, Zappa showed up, and did he calling himself Frank Zappa, but knew the whole life of Frank Zappa, had it down. And so we've been doing this instant messaging mediumship and getting the transcripts. I think I've sent you one or two or excerpts.
Mm-hmm.
And they go on for hours, and we send around to friends. And lots of predictions made. A lot came true over the past year. But this was a big one. Big things happened in August, and we posted on, it happened on June 30th, four-and-a-half-hour session. No, July 30th, and a few weeks later it happened. So then if you go to the Cloak and Dagger site at Mojo 640 AM Radio, go into their chat forum, you will see GLOW has been posting follow-up statements from McLuhan. But the main point is McLuhan, through a private session with me, explained that the cause of the blackout was a beam from a U.S. Navy ship off the coast of New York City, you know, just off in the east. And it was an experiment to see if the population could evacuate quietly in preparation, rehearsal for a new terrorist attack, and also testing this weapon. And so I posted that, and I had no other information whether that was true or not, other than whether I believe the McLuhan or not coming through GLOW. But I just heard someone sent me that on that show, Across the Coast or whatever it is, that Art Bell derivative.
Coast to Coast.
Yeah, Coast to Coast. Several people, scientists or whatever, fringe scientists, I don't know who they are, have announced that their instruments picked up. It was a beam off the East Coast from a military boat or something.
Right, and the grid operator said that before everything went out, that they had a series of surges of spikes, like not that that there was a power failure, but an over insertion of energy into the system.
So which, the beam would have done that.
Exactly. The beam would have made the spikes in the within the grid system.
So there you have, you know, the predictions on the record. And on June 30th, and I posted around, sent it to you. I don't know if you had time to read it back
then.
Yeah. And then it's already other people are confirming that that is not such a far-fetched story. So what's the larger meaning of it all? Well, there's more to come. We're not going to have time to fix the grid or fix anything. So many...
It doesn't need to be fixed. Isn't that the whole hoax? That once again, now they put in the mind through the media the idea that our grid isn't stable, but the grid is fine.
We scramble for purpose every day. Everybody has to, the Android meme has to explain why the news is relevant. They come up with a new reason every day. If you just follow it for a month, you see they had 22 new reasons every 30 days of what's going on, explaining new crises, new problems, new solutions. It just goes on and on. And the point is, the real perspective is the change is, you know, it's post-human, and it's the machines changing themselves. And if you're aware of this, you sit on the sideline, enjoy the road, enjoy the show, and never to follow the news. Don't pay attention. I know it's your gig to keep the radio going and putting the news on, talking to Mr. LaRouche or whoever, and they give you the latest patterns, all obsolete within 6 hours. So just listen for the fun of it, you know, and know that it's going to get better and worse than anybody projects. I mean, basically what you have since July 5th, 1998, when the Android meme basically died and we're left with our bodies staring at each other with this new knowledge of what our bodies are made up of, the chip body, the TV body, the astral body, and the anthropomorphic physical, we now see all these parameters that spiraled out and created our present physical sensation, that we're standing and staring at each other's physical sensation immeasurable. And this is what I call the AP, the anthropomorphic physical. So as it rose up over the last 5 years, the first thing is the AP, the anthropomorphic physical, attacked the hardware. So that was September 11th, attacked the television of New York City, the steeple on the top of the towers.
Mm-hmm.
The Taliban did that. Tali is English for television. So the Taliban, who banned TV in Afghanistan and came over here and tried to ban the TV needle for the five boroughs of Manhattan, the Taliban, you get that one, right? So they
mm-hmm.
knock out the hardware, the buildings, and then has a little bit of a hardware fight over the next year or so. So then the AP comes back from its caves and knocks out the software network, the grid. And so the AP has attacked hardware and software. That's the larger pattern. September 11th is 911. The grid was 4:11. Maybe they quibble over what time it was, but the folklore was it was 4:11, right? For a day or two.
Okay.
When the thing happened. So 4:11 is 11 times 4 is 44, which is the number I've been telling you for the last few years. It's the number of AP, which adds up to 8. But these are not esoteric. These are just passing patterns. The real point is we're still alive. There's more coming. And McLuhan says we're going transdimensional. Now, that wouldn't be just the transdimensional of television or a chip body. This is a multi-level transdimensionality, which leaves everybody enjoying the witticisms of whoever pretends to be president.
Now, I can understand the AM and its or and its will or what necessarily the juice the Android meme what
yes.
it was running on, but the AP itself, what is the consciousness?
What is
the reflection, the consciousness of the AP?
Well, okay, imagine you're first human being. You've just been you don't even know it. You've been ape. You've been Cro-Magnon man, and you've been altered by the Boodians, who've altered your jaw and your thumb, so that your chemistry from eating differently and moving your thumb alters your body and internal brain chemistry, which creates a subconscious. So you're wandering around experiencing. You're just a sensation. Now, what is it? What is the parameters of that sensation and feeling and mechanism, consciousness itself? Well, as you imagine, just beginning to have it, you wouldn't know what your parameters are. The stars are in your eyes, the smells are in yourself and in the others. That sense of being something, I call the anthropomorphic physical. It's anthropomorphic. It's the human being thinking it's something as opposed to external around it. And its parameters of what's external would be way different from us. It would just feel that it's something within something else.
Right.
All right?
Right.
So that initial first nature experience of consciousness in our bodies. So culture unfolds over millennia describing the environment that the AP thinks it's in. So every culture has a different image of the body, okay?
Yes.
Eventually, it realizes in the 20th century that it's been extending its body, that technology, second nature, are extensions of the first nature, which is experienced via consciousness, which I call the AP. All right?
Oh, very good.
So as these technologies expand and explode and then through the latter part of the 20th century implode and become tiny, eventually these technologies, the nanovision and that, the technology will disappear or at least become very invisible. And we will be standing naked like that original Cro-Magnon man again, feeling ourselves conscious, but not through mediation like language or any technology.
Oh,
all right?
Oh, very good.
So as this, so we call it the AP, where all technologies extended from and mimes from, where they came from, gradually disappear and we get to see the source it came from, our original consciousness. But we will not be the consciousness that was groping in the mist of unknowingness, the cloud of unknowing at the beginning. Very perceptive and psychic in the old terms, and very tuned to the environment. But just think of all the ways our body image and cultures have changed with the technologies that went from Cro-Magnon until now. As we stand naked looking for what is the new parameters, how to describe a new situation, and we have no cultural biases that we just submit to as a description. That's
right.
Why the popular phrase is, whatever, you know, whatever you say. People are indifferent to speech and visual and older media, because they live in a new zone. So I call the new zone the new AP. But what we're witnessing is people grappling as they experience the mystery of the new AP, what I call the mystery body. We know we've been physical body, an astral body, or the spiritual body. We know, if you're listening to me, that we had a TV body and a chip body. These are the constituents we've excavated of our larger AAP context, our AP medium, which we're always trying to find out the new boundaries of. So now we're at a point where none of the older descriptions meet the need and the way we feel. So some people will think that the AP that is surfacing is old AP. That's tribalism. That's George Bush. That's oil consciousness, older 19th century media. But going back to primitivism, the Gaia mythology, or whatever idea that we have a body that's linked to some image of old nature. But we now know that the present nature we really live in is a merging of second nature technology and any previous form of nature created by spirit or the creator. All right?
Okay.
They've merged. So we're in a mystery body. The excavated constituents we now know are that it's physical in the sense of pharmaceutical chemistry, that it has spirituality or astral chakra from other cultures, not so westernized, that it has a TV body, which has gotten smaller and smaller, and a chip body. Those are the first four constituents, but we're feeling the mystery body. This is the exciting point. And the mystery body, so I started presenting this to McLuhan through the medium Glow last year, and amazingly, he responded and elaborated and agreed with my interpretations. So there's a lot in the old transcripts of these sessions explaining where we're at. And McLuhan just keeps saying, Bob, what you're describing is the best thing that approaches the new situation where we are pulsating at a new AP, a new sense of sensation, faster and beyond measurement, more than anybody can even imagine.
How does he describe himself?
That's very interesting. He seems to feel I or whoever listens to these things need to know what's happening because he, being in the astral plane, is merging with this new virtual reality, which is becoming tiny. He basically says, if you look at the transmission from July 30th, that everything is resonating and merging, all four bodies in my terms, plus we are reaching the most fantastic science fiction visions of collective consciousness that anybody ever thought up, are approximated best by Finnegan's Wake and James Joyce, is where we're at now. That's why nothing holds. Science doesn't hold. Scientists cheat. They sell their studies to the JAMA, to the Journal of Medical Association. Corporations buy them. Mystics sell themselves. Everybody's selling because money is the only old AP language left, but it doesn't hold because nothing's there. So we have no economy, and Enron showed that. They were selling nothing to each other because there was nothing to sell. Money disappeared decades ago, all right? It's a virtual afterimage. When the virtual afterimage died, that's the Android meme. Gone. So we're meeting each other one-on-one, and so maybe a vision of that is that someday you're going to meet your double, your clone double, Eben, Brenda, Sybil, Sylvia, Venus. You're going to meet your double. It's exactly like you. So there you are meeting your body that you experienced in the Garden of Eden, mirrored directly back at you, but that body is totally a simulation. You're going to have to confront that. You see what I'm saying? We meet ourselves naked again. And this is very interesting when you think of Edward Teller's dream, which I heard him say in 1980, 79, 80. He said he dreamt, his vision of nuclear war was, in the future, every person on the planet would line up against opposite one other person. And the war would be the battle of each person meeting its opposite, he or she's opposite. Well, we're already doing that through the Internet. I can meet anybody, and they can meet me. But not in the physical yet, though we could arrange that.
But what makes it opposite, though?
I don't know. That's the doubleness of human beings. We need tension. We need dialectic. That Norm Mailer goes into a lot of this in Harlot's Ghost, that we are double. We have opposite impulses. So we meet in violence and love at the same time. Mm-hmm. And all cultures try to mediate and keep it in an ecological balance. But we've stripped away all cultural models that modulated that, that mediated that. We're now meeting each other with the ultimate of the most incredible tensions. All right?
Yes.
Because we have no models and no technology to hold together. We do rely on the old models. Chip, you get up every day, you listen to the news, you email, you send out messages to nobody in particular, because it's all become one person. We are now one thing who is looking to connect with something else. So the context that Teller comes up with is that we're trying to, that we have someone to meet and interact and fight with or engage with. But that's an old AP image he's coming up. It's a subconscious dream. I say right now, unless we understand a new AP, we will remain merged inside one consciousness, which can't find itself. And George Bush expresses that perfectly. When he gives his press conference, whenever he says anything, the slur, the accidental speech, the incomplete sentence, he's basically a guy talking to himself. And, you know what I mean? He doesn't care what anybody receives, what any sense from it. But that is telling us something so accurate that I've been predicting for years. He's talking to himself because he as an image of the post-Android mean AP looking for itself. Just think of his adversary, Bin Laden, is in the cave. I mean, talk about Cro-Magnon man, right? Supposedly the folklore, he's in a cave. One caveman fighting the other. Then it switched to Iraq. One caveman bashing another caveman. But they're trying to find something that is external to themselves. And as long as we don't understand where we live, we'll just be that one thing, stumbling and muttering to itself, and all other old media translating, saying, look what he's saying to us. But he is not speaking to us. He's speaking to ourselves. No, he's speaking to himself, and that's us talking to himself. You ever go on a chat line? Just nothing but insults, nothing but yakking, screaming at each other. Nobody would do that in person. But that's really expressing the fact that virtual reality has no other. So
yeah, but they'll do it on Jerry Springer.
Yeah, oh yeah, that began like talk radio is a poor man's chat line, internet. Jerry Springer is a poor man's spitting in the mass media. When you're on the internet and chat groups, user groups, news groups, you just bash the media archetypes, the old media. You know what I mean? And pretend you're sympathetic on the margin with whoever you think you're communicating with. The whole culture since 1990, as my chart show, is bashing old media. What we call one-way media.
Yeah.
But really, it's just the Android meme allowing you to bash itself, and it has disappeared. And as long as you think it's something to bash, it keeps going.
So if, you know, I used to think that part of the unfortunate problem with our election system, et cetera, is that mostly the elderly vote and the youth don't. And so if we can associate particular technologies with generations,
yes.
Is the bashing that is going on a revolt against, once again, the stagnation of particular archetypes and technologies that have a suction that isn't progressive, that resents change, et cetera? Do those kind of generational homo sapien things bleed into the Android meme?
Thank you for being perceptive, but the point is, as you talk to me every show, you should have your computer on and be looking at my chart, because we always come back to the chart, and that's what you're describing. You just described my chart. You look at the chart, makes up the tiny note chart, one half of two big charts. The tiny note has holeopathic radio. Holeopathic means, which means tiny, nano, disappeared, former radio environment, now an after image of radio. Holeopathic TV, holeopathic computer, and holeopathic satellite, revolving around the AP. And I have generational categories. I got LaRouche, holeopathic radio. He represents 1814 to 1900. That's the talk show. People believe in countries and newspaper editorials and nations. That's
mm-hmm.
the older people.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have the baby boomers who are in the holeopathic TV zone, and the dropouts from all levels are in the holeopathic computer, and then the holeopathic satellite is us floating around all the previous media, because the satellite was the original endpoint of that. Then it got virtualized by the Android meme. So floating around the satellite is the chip body, and that's the Generation X and Generation Y, who just make fun of LaRouche, they make fun of McLuhan, the symbolic figure of the holopathic TV phase, and they make fun of William Irwin Thompson and Andrew Weil and all the New Age people, and they make fun of themselves in the chip body because they know they're robotoids. You know, Nirvana did that.
Mm-hmm.
So all that is fighting, representing time zones. LaRouche represents 1840-1900. McLuhan, or holeopathic TV, represents 1900 to 1918. That's when TV was being imagined by Fowler Farnsworth here in the United States and Baird in England. And then you have 1918-1945. That's holeopathic computer. That's when the IBM was working with the implementing their technology in the Nazi concentration camps. And I enjoy speaking fast like this. I need to talk this fast to communicate to the generation why they can think this fast, they perceive this fast. All right?
Mm-hmm.
And then if you can't follow it, just tape it and redo it. Slow it down. But then you have 1945 to 1960 is the solar government holeopathic satellite phase, and that's predicting that's leading the space race. But that then gets subsumed from 1960 to 1990 is the increasing rise of the AP, because from 60 to 90, the technology environments are getting tinier and tinier.
Right.
People aren't aware of it. They don't have the right images. They're just celebrating the previous medium, Baroque spirals of ecstatic hedonism and Dionysium and Apollonian detachment.
Mm-hmm.
And that AP has been surfacing. And when the technology that it was sneaking up on disappears in 1990, you're left with the AP standing there naked. From 1990 to 2000. And what is the content? What's the rearview mirror? It's the replay of the Android meme, which is all those technologies just digitizing, nanotizing, and celebrating. You have the boom of the 90s called .com, right?
Right.
Dot communism. We all became
dot-communism.
One dot. That's what George Bush is, the dot. Dot communism.
Yeah.
Of course, it has to collapse, because the hidden ground is that it's only an after image. So we're looking at each other. You know, we're communicating, you and I, Brenda, in this situation.
Brenda?
Whoever Brenda is.
Let me get Brenda for a second. Okay.
Okay.
Go ahead.
The and, you know, Sybil, Sylvia, and Evan, and Venus are looking on. And I'm bringing up Venus because I'm reading Mason and Dixon by Pynchon, which is always appropriate. I have Gravity's Rainbow on my chart, but it's amazing how Pynchon has mimed what the war is. More than 1984. More than Brave New World. So in Mason and Dixon, they're talking about the transit of Venus, the amazing thing in 1761 where they saw Venus. Newton's laws were accurate and predicted that Venus would come in front of the sun. Anyway, so I got Venus on my mind, right?
Right.
So on my body, on my neurons, on my tongue, on my toenails, on you.
Yeah.
We're the same thing. That's what's on me.
Okay.
Yes. That's it.
KPFK 90.7 FM Los Angeles, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara County. You're tuned to Radio Alchemy. I'm your host, Eben Ray, and I'm joined by Venus, Sybil, Brenda, and others. And on the line, our angel remotely in the east side of this country, who somehow had his lights on when everything else was dark, is Bob Dobbs.
Yeah,
now,
most of my life is totally unbelievable. But if you even come close to it, you find out it's real. Guffey has had to deal with this. When he met me and had written this article on Matrix 1 and how it was about me, he hadn't even met me. He just based the interpretation of the Matrix on my dialogues with David Porter on KPFK in 93-94.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But then once he met me, and he met me the same time you did in Mesquite, Nevada, and
when
you meet me and see what happens, it's very hard to explain. I don't celebrate this. It's just a fact.
Yeah.
And I got to live with it. I call it xenochrony, strange synchronicity. I get the term from Frank Zappa, who tried to avoid synchronicity in organizing his music through in his studio. He would mix the most ridiculous things to create dissonance, but they'd always, in large times, many times, merge and be strange synchronicity, strange synchronization, right?
Yeah.
Well, I get that all the time. I mean, I didn't ask about, I just posted a prediction. McClellan says something's going to happen in August. I don't pay any attention. So I just post out there. So, okay, see what this happens. Well, it does happen. And it always happens on a special day, August 14th. I've said the Android meme is number 14 because New York City, the Seinfeld Renaissance New York City of the 90s, was the after image of the Android meme. And New York City is about 14 miles long. So it is 14.
Hmm.
But you take 8, the other big number on my chart, you put them together, you get 22. A number I've always talked about that resonates very strongly in September 11th, but in the 14th, August 14th, 4/11, that's 14 backwards. It just resonates, and I didn't ask for that, but there it is.
There it is. Let me ask you this. You brought up the Boodians. Now, that is a, let's say, a counter story or an extension. I don't know how you would say it. Zachariah Sitchin says that it was, the planet X, Nibiru, that built Homo sapiens from the lovely rodent little monkeys and everything that was running around on the planet. Your story is about the Boodians. Could you go into that a little bit tonight?
Right. The Boodians refers to the constellation Boodies, B-O-O-T-E-S, and one of the O's has an umlaut, the German little two double dots on one of the O's. Okay, that's a normal constellation you look in astronomy. And one of the stars in it is Arcturus, a well-known star, all right?
Yes.
There are two other stars, Epsilon and another one. They are the two stars where the main ET intelligence that will interact with us, that are assigned the ambassador role of bringing us into a larger universe as we develop our technology and make our contact with them. The universe is teeming with ET life, the Pleiadians and all whatever other people we want to name or species, but it's the Boodians that are the ones making the crop circles, preparing us for the contact. And the contact will be when they leave a device on one of our latest spaceships. What do they call space stations? The Russians and Americans. And that device, when we find it, will say, press here and speak. And that will be the contact. And at that point, we will interact with them. And we will find out, I already know, but we will find out if we believe them, that they altered us in 27,000 B.C. They followed us since we were little lemurs at the time of the dinosaurs. We were flexible little animals, and they followed us for millions of years and put their bets on us as evolving because we were flexible, not like the dinosaurs. And we eventually raised the time at 30,000 B.C. You had Neanderthal man, and then you had another strain, which became what we within academia call Cro-Magnon man. All right? Cro-Magnon man was altered in 27,500 B.C., and the Neanderthals weren't altered, and they died out. All right? Mm-hmm. So we evolved from the Cro-Magnon altered ape, which I described earlier, the alteration, very simple. They zapped the hand and the cheek, and that was enough. Now, Zichin goes into 19th century paranoia about tyrannical nonsense, you know. The Boodians, the reason they did this, and the last real contact with us was about 6,000 B.C., they've been monitoring, interacting occasionally, but the real purpose they altered us is they wanted to grow a species that they could mate with and take the structure of the human and bring it into their own bodies and therefore alter their body because they wanted a different rib cage, a slightly different form than they had. You see what I'm saying?
Interesting.
So that's why the Bible says, you know, the sons of God mated with the daughters of men. That is the folkloric resonance of the fact that there was interspecies breeding, but the intention was to alter from the Boodian's point of view, was not only to watch us evolve, but to, for their particular selfish reason, was to alter their body structure, and that's what happened. Then once that was done, they just withdrew, and they had influenced every civilization up at that point. I think it was Atlantis. The big contribution they gave Atlantis was the ball bearing. The ball bearing allowed them to do a lot with their vehicles and that no other culture had. Now, to say ball bearings as opposed to some awesome, science fiction term, the landings and crystalline stuff, they had crystalline technology. But most of our New Age or alternative view of history that sees ETs influencing us romanticizes and exaggerates. It's very interesting. The fact is half between amazing and half between mundane.
Yes.
So they kept in touch with us. And when the ape... There's a new book out about some PBS series about how we all came from Africa, and this guy took the Human Genome Project or something and mapped out the genes from Africa up through Asia. You know,
either he did it on the male mitochondria, or I've seen one based on Eve, and then another one based on Adam.
Right. The point is, he can use the genetic heritage, and some guy in Uzbekistan.
Right.
Anyways, what these scientists will discover is, yeah, we were altered in Africa. They won't believe we're altered. They recognize we came from Africa. But what they won't know, and won't know for 150 years, according to my sources, when we finally will accept the fact that we were genetically altered, it's going to be hard for humans to accept that for some reason, they will realize that the Cro-Magnon apes, once they were up and running, so to speak, like, say, 400 or so, I can't remember my file's exact number, were deposited around the planet. And that was an attempt to have the species growing in different places. Most of them died out. And so, in general, Africa is where we came from. They're the ones that survived and migrated out of Africa. But we were deposited all over the place. Plus, if you look at, say, culture around 200 B.C. or in that region, you will see that China, Aztec, Latin or South America, cultures around the world had the dragon, had common decorative motifs. That's because the Boodians took humans from China and the different civilizations and transported them over to thousands of miles away and created a little global melting pot for a while. And that's why the artifacts contain that. So they did that after they interbred with us. So they're there making contact every now and then, but they're watching us. But this is a fateful time. It's time for us to interact with them consciously.
So the Boodians, are they humanoid?
When I was at Mesquite, were you in the room when I...
I know, darling. I'm just asking you for the audience.
No, it's all right. No, it's good. No, I'm not... The point is that... Remember Pamela?
Yes. Yes, Pamela.
Her name? Stonehouse?
Yeah, Stonebrook.
Stonebrook. Remember, she was interested in my descriptions of them.
Yes.
And were you in the room when I described it to her?
Yes.
It met her images that she got when she goes into other dimensions or something and has children, right? I heard Bell with that theme. And anyways, the descriptions match her, but they were what was it? Bi-structural. I can't remember the word. They have two rib plates. I'd have to read it out, but I could read it next time. Read the actual description of it.
But they're of a reptilian sort.
Nah, they're not reptilian.
Because she was always talking about having sex with reptilians. And so that's why she was very jazzed to hear that they were, or at least what I got from your guys' conversation, that it came out that they were of a reptilian background.
But aren't there different competing images of what the reptilian folklore image is?
Well, certainly. Well, yes, innumerable, absolutely.
Yeah. So yeah, they look. They got two eyes and things like that. But I think one of the points was their rib cages slide back and forth.
Interesting.
Can't remember the word, but it's a bit different from us. But they're not rep snakes or snakeheads or whatever.
They don't have huge snouts or something.
No, I don't think so. I mean, they kind of look human, but they have some weird bone structure. And now what's interesting, they live in, like, if we thought of it, a beehive. I mean, they live in a zone that's very hot. They're physical in our universe, but it's like a little oven. And they find it very strange the way our planet is. Matter of fact, anybody who claims they're abducted, and my source says there's only been about five people abducted in the 20th century, the best ones being Barney and Betty Hill, if anybody is abducted and they say, well, these aliens are superior to us and they're going to help us or destroy us or something superior, not true. The Boodians recognize we're in a totally different, you know, terrestrial environment than theirs, and we have made amazing progress within the conditions and limitations of our environment. And they have made amazing progress within their situation, which in relation to us is different because they can travel all over the place more than us, but they may not have television. All right. The point is they don't consider themselves better than us. They recognize that we grew up in a certain environment, and they're impressed with the way we did it. And they're interested in how we work in this gravity kind of zone, which is so different from their zone. They want to study. They're interested. They're just like a wise person. They're interested in you.
So did they, in a sense, in looking at Homo sapiens versus the rest of the planet, you would say, or the species, Sitchin would say that we were, or Lloyd Pye would say, that we were engineered to mate, to overpopulate, to, you know, where our regular animal kingdom has a clock and we are just overwrought with sexual drive. Is that something that the Boodians instilled, in a sense? Why do we have such differences between
us? No. When they made the alteration, they didn't know what the effects would be. They're not God. They didn't know what would happen. They wanted, remember, to alter the body for their purposes, but they didn't know what would we evolve into. It was a mystery, and they're really interested in how we evolved. These paranoid scenarios are ridiculous. There may be species that are, like, the Boodians consider the ET that does the cattle mutilations is a retarded species. It's insignificant. They're only into the cows, not a threat to us for whatever crazy physical reason they need to get the cattle mutilations done for. There's nothing with the evolution of the Boodians. Boodians are conscious. They recognize that we are very worth monitoring and studying and learning from.
So they are. This species is not in contact with the United States government?
No. The only contact that's happened was in October 9th when Pravda, I think it was back then, Soviet Union newspaper, announced a contact outside Moscow, I don't know, 400 miles outside or something. And they were laughed at. And it was considered, and they stuck by their guns that they, or their faxes, that they reporting a bona fide contact. Well, through my very excellent sources, I found out that what happened is there was contact. It was reported to Gorbachev, and a sense of reality of what had happened impressed upon him. So he said, well, if this is true, to this general who was telling him, if this is true, then what fools we've been. I think he's meaning in terms of humanity.
Yes.
And so the military, some secret network elite in the military world, which is an obsolete world of the 19th century, but within their world, most of the NATO command knows about this, and they're waiting to figure out what the ETs are going to do next. There was nothing more than real evidence of life from other planets was here, and so the general paranoid 19th century military mind decided, well, we've got to take the position of protecting people. So they put out all those sightings shows in 1989-1991. They brought in the X-Files. They made everybody paranoid about extraterrestrials. That was the only strategy the ones who give you an offer you can't refuse can do. It's
right.
Like a solar government mafia. They make you be afraid of them.
What is, because our...
And
our
Bill Cooper was duped by that.
Yes.
And so the point is that all there is contact. No human being knows what they're going to do next, how they're going to do it, other than they're making the crop circles, the real ones, not the hoaxes or whatever level hoaxes are. But those things, you look at them, they're awesome.
Yeah, they're awesome.
And you know why they're making... This is what's so interesting. It's very practical. They don't know how we're going to react, and they're making these amazingly beautiful designs to see what we recognize in it, like a Rorschach ink blot.
Right.
And when they can figure out what we see in it, then they know what we see, what we know.
Hmm.
It's like any anthropologist. It goes into a tribe that's had no contact with Western civilization or whatever, and you don't know what they think like. So you have to find out what they think to even begin to determine what an apple is in communication terms, all right?
Hmm.
So these crop circles are a way of saying, okay, how do they respond to that?
But how can they say...
They don't have ESP. They have ESP in some level, but they don't know what we think and how we communicate.
Wow.
On the most intimate, they're not just like you're not me. The species are different. So it's a probe, like an anthropologist, to find out what we... what our basic parameters are for establishing communication.
Bob,
isn't that interesting?
It's very, very interesting. And it's so hard to, you know, for them to say what we think when it is just some fantastic researchers that are really on the forefront of trying to understand these, and the mast of the global mind is still maybe playing Nintendo. But I guess they can certainly try and figure out through our manipulated kind of mediums of communication how we would react, in this way, but I can imagine.
Right, that's why they, when a UFO, when they play chicken with some human, car, they're waiting to see if the person will be violent.
Hmm.
Will throw. It's like if you meet strangers and you make a violent move just to see if they'll immediately jump on you. Or if they're cool, they just relax and say, what's your problem?
Mm-hmm.
It's, you're trying to find out in the drama of relationship, drama of cognition, what your reaction is. And if it's violent, then you get away. So they sort of make a little scaring move to see how we react. If we're cool, then they feel cool about it. But they'll be pelted otherwise.
Well, Bob, it's fantastic to get into the Boodians finally. We haven't talked about this in a while, and that was one of the things that I absolutely loved in your presentation way back when, because yet it is
It was the anniversary.
Another...
It was August 17th.
Right.
1999. We're in that month.
Right. And, so it's fantastic to bring up these other scenarios as to the making and manipulation of a Homo sapiens. So I hope to continue this talk. Unfortunately, our time is up. And so can't wait to hear more of your messages from GLOW, from the Evergreens, and whoever else you get the tap into. And really want to thank you once again, as always, for joining us here on Radio Alchemy, Bob. Okay.
Very good, Eben.
All right.
Excellent. I love talking about this. It's pretty real stuff, and it's in the interval between amazing and mundane.
Yes, absolutely.
I'm not putting any out ridiculous scenarios that lead to hyper subjectivity.
Fantastic, sir. All right, darlings. That was Bob. You know that voice, and it's hard to keep up with it. But that's what this is all about, because life is just like that, man, zipping by us in and out of each of our orifices. But now we may be able to decode it once we get the language to do that. So I want to thank Bob. I want to thank presidential hopeful Lyndon LaRouche for joining us this evening. The next Catalyst Conference is going to come up September 20th. And what's great is that Barbara Lamb's going to be there presenting Crop Circles. And Obalaji Kefren Russ is going to speak. He has so many things to speak about. We just don't know what that may be, but there's going to be always great information on a monthly basis. Really want to thank you guys again for supporting us during this last fund drive. We always need your help. We always want your help. And we very much appreciate your support and giving us a vote of confidence that you like what all of us do here at the Pacifica family of dysfunctional friends. And so until next week, folks, have a great week and speak to you soon. I'm sick of trips.